Blog Talk Radio. What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing? Welcome to the show tonight. I have a feeling my microphone really hates my guts. I don't know what the hell's going on with the microphone today. We're having issues with the microphone again. But we have our chat room open. Amy Joe from Idaho is joining us in our chat room tonight. Welcome, Amy Joe. Great to see everybody in the house. We are here for another great BIRN show. We are here for the third show here in February. That's right. We have one more show here in February, and then we move to March already. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how time is flying. I tell you. But the direct connect is not working again tonight. The microphone is not working again tonight. I'm not a happy camper tonight. We've been struggling with the microphone. We've been struggling with the direct connect for weeks now. We'll get there, folks. We'll get there, and we'll be able to take callers again here soon. But we're struggling with the mic and the new computer. The new computer is not taking the mic. I don't understand what's going on. New computer not taking the mic, and it's really frustrating. But we're here, and we're excited to be here, and we'll get through this, and we will fight through like we always do. So when it comes down to it, it's important and imperative to understand that BIRN is here for all of you, to educate all of you. That's right, to educate each and every one of you. Every single week, we are here, all 20 great hosts that we have here on this wonderful network we call Brain Injury Radio. And we want you to come on in and be a part. That's right. We want you to be a part. That's right, folks. So important, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the importance of education. We need to educate ourselves, and we need to educate the world on what we know. Because not everybody knows what we know. That's right. I tell you, there's so much, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss today. And we just started Lent. The Lenten season has begun. A time of cleansing. A time of getting to know one's body. A time of ridding of the bad and taking back in the good. That's right. Getting rid of the bad and taking in the good. This is the time, one of the most holiest times in the Catholic calendar. The Lenten season, ladies and gentlemen, started Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Oh, and boy, do I have to talk about Ash Wednesday. Boy, do I have to talk about Ash Wednesday. But we got 20 great hosts here on BIRN, and we do want you to come on in and be a part. We do want you to come on in and be a part. We want you to be an active part. We want you to call into shows. Join us in our chat rooms if you can. Be an active part. Be an interactive part of our wonderful shows here on this great channel. We love each and every one of you every week. We see you here, and we love to educate you. And we thank you for coming every Saturday. But I will tell you to go and listen to all the other shows. And I will tell you to please go listen to all the other great hosts. You will never know that they have a disease. You will never know that they have an ailment. You will never know that they had a brain injury. It's amazing. We got great hosts here, and they really put a lot into doing their shows. So we want you to get out there, and we want you to be an active and interactive part in BIRN. We're also looking for sponsors. If you're interested in sponsoring in your small business or an entrepreneur or a large business for that matter, please see Kim Justice or Craig Sicilia. Would you be interested in sponsoring a host, sponsoring a show, sponsoring the website? Let us know. We are here to do some wonderful collaboration with you. That's right. So come on in. If you would like to sponsor, let us know, and I will put you in touch with the proper sources. Let's get on with the show, shall we? Let's get on with the show. That's right. So, as I was saying, it's the Lenten season. It's a time of change in one's life. It's a time of cleansing. It's a time of getting rid of the old and bringing in the new. It is time to get rid of the old bad habits and start anew. Started with Ash Wednesday, which was this Wednesday. And I will tell you, Ash Wednesday was hampered by COVID here in New York. There was a few different ways that churches were giving ashes. They were giving them outside the church in the freezing cold temperatures. They were giving them in the foyer of the gyms that they play basketball in. And they play the religious sports, and they have the religious plays and stuff like that right there in the gym, where they have the functions and everything. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's important and imperative to understand and we are here, and we are excited to be here. Siri, I don't know why Siri is coming on. Siri, why the hell are you coming on, Siri? She's going to tell me, I don't know. It's like somebody's touching the button. Oh, what is there, something paranormal going on in this room? Who's touching the damn button? It's only me in here. Anyway. Oh, man. So, they were also giving ashes with Q-tips. Q-tips. That's right. They wouldn't touch your forehead. They were putting a Q-tip with ashes on your forehead. So, churches were doing it different ways. And my dad was told that if somebody couldn't make it to church, that whoever had blessed ashes on their head would be able to take a little bit off of their forehead because it's blessed ashes and put it on the forehead of the person that cannot go to church. Well, since I have RSDCRPS and I have low immunity, I did not go to church. And I haven't been to church in a very long time. And like I said, they're not really doing anything inside church. It's all outside church or in the gym, you know, or in various other places that the church has, in the chapels, you know, different things that the churches are doing. Still 25% capacity, going up to 35% capacity, which is kind of weird, but still at 40 people in the church, and that's it. So I got ashes from my dad's forehead, and my dad put the ashes on my forehead on Ash Wednesday. Very first time that ever happened, that I experienced that. Usually it's a priest putting the ashes on my forehead. This is the first time my dad put ashes on my forehead. Really interesting stuff, guys, I tell you. Always something new when we're during COVID. That's right. Always something new while we're dealing with COVID, right? always something new. And Ash Wednesday is nothing but new, you know, with all the different things that they're doing for Ash Wednesday because of COVID. So I got my ashes, and I didn't eat meat this past Friday. I did not eat meat. That's right. That's our one of the things that we give up during the Lenten season on Fridays and on the major holidays, which is Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and Holy Week and Easter. That's right. We give up meat for those days, okay? Every Friday, including those major holidays, we are not eating meat. That's right. So when it comes down to it, it's important and imperative to understand that this time is all about healing. It's all about cleansing. And boy, do I need to cleanse with this microphone and with this computer and with this Direct Connect. Boy, do I need to cleanse. I need to cleanse all of this crap out of my life. That's right. I got to get this thing working. That's right. Boy, do I have to cleanse the issues and the problems. And it's a stupid problem, probably. It's something that I'm not remembering or something that I'm not doing that is probably the simplest thing that I have to do to get the mic working and the headphones working. But we're just not there yet. Yeah, and we've been struggling with this since the beginning of January when the computer was up and running. That's right. But we'll get there. And like I said, this is a cleansing time. This is a time to build budgets. This is a time to get out of debt. This is a time to get rid of unwanted relationships and friendships and bring in some new friendships, relationships, and other great things during this period of time. It's a period of cleansing your body, your mind, and your soul. That's right. The period of healing. This is a time we should be healing. And I will be concentrating, like I said, on this microphone thing and on this computer thing. That's right. We are organizing, and organizing is a good thing. You know, organizing is a great way to cleanse the soul, a great way to cleanse the mind, a great way to cleanse the heart. Organization. So when it comes down to it, it is important and imperative to understand that we must heal during the time of Lent. Now, some of us are not Catholic. Some of us are atheist, Jewish, Muslim. Well, your holidays are coming up too. Ramadan, which is usually around May. You know, and Passover, which is actually the last week of March. Easter happens to be April 4th this year, the first Sunday in April. We must cleanse the whole month of March and the rest of February. This, ladies and gentlemen, is so very important. It's a cleansing time. It's a spring cleaning time. It's a donation time. It's get rid of the old and bring in the new. That's right. Cleanse yourself of anything that is not serving you during this time. What's not serving you? Negative friends. Negative relationships. Problems and issues like this damn microphone. That's right. Cleanse it. And trust me, we're only 3 days in, You bet your ass I'm cleansing this whole microphone problem. That's right. We're going to have it up and running, and we're going to have call-ins again. Organization. Making sure you organize everything. Every little single thing in your life you should be organizing. Cleanse your mind with the organization. Cleanse your heart with the organization. Cleanse your soul with the organization. Organize your life in all capacities. Your computer, your living space, your closet, your basements, your house. Clean, 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 clean. And if it's something you don't use and you don't look at anymore, it's time to donate it or throw it out. Why keep something if you're just going to look at it? Why keep something if it's just going to sit in the closet? You bet your ass I'm cleaning out that closet. You bet your ass I'm cleaning out this room. You bet your ass I'm cleaning out my house. That's right. Because guess what? On the 26th, the veterans are coming to pick up. And you bet your ass there's going to be a lot waiting for them. That's right. When it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, the best thing you could do during this period of Lent, Passover, Ramadan, is to better your relationship with God. And today's homily was just great. TV church homilies are just awesome. I tell you, I learned so much from TV church. Better than real church, I tell you. Better than real church. The homilies are so much better. And today's homily was Jesus sent away for 40 days and 40 nights. And what do you think we do during the Lenten period? 40 days and 40 nights. The period of time Jesus was sent to the desert. That's right. By himself, by the way. And then tempted three times as well. If you remember, tempted three times. One, not to listen to the devil. Two, to not follow power or anyone else. And three, follow the way of the Lord. But don't give away who you are. That's right. So let me give you an example. Okay? Adam and Eve. The devil tempted Eve to eat the apple, and she did. But Jesus didn't succumb to the devil's temptation in the desert. So who was there with him? The devil. Secondly, don't follow the masses. Don't follow leaders. Don't follow leadership. Do your own thing. So all throughout the life of Jesus, he did things his way. Followed the masses, and he didn't follow the leaders. Temptation number two is complete. He did not get tempted. Temptation number three was to live by the way of God, but don't show who you are. And evidence of that is when Jesus was on the cross. And he couldn't save himself, but he really could if he wanted to. But he followed the way of the Lord, and he didn't show himself, and he died on the cross. Temptation number three, down. He did not get tempted. Therefore, the 40 days and 40 nights were successful in the desert. Now, there were only certain times that Jesus actually used his power to raise Lazarus from the dead, to cure the leper, to multiply the bread and the wine. Three big miracles during his life. And of course, other literal miracles. That he performed. But remember, the biggest miracle in life is your life. You living, you breathing every single day. That's the miracle. The 24/7 days that we have are a miracle. Getting up every day is a miracle. Having another 24 hours is a miracle. That's right. So how did this fall into real life? We are tempted every day, folks. We are tempted every day with money, with greed, with confidence, with pride. We are tempted every day with material things, with computers and cell phones and cars and houses. And those, my friends, are temptations. And do you realize in today's society that we are more materialistic than ever before? We are listening more to the devil than we are to God. Being materialistic, we are listening more to the devil than we are listening to God. We failed the first temptation. Because we're tempted by things. We're tempted by people. We're tempted by money. There's a lot of temptations in this world. And every single temptation is set out by the devil. The devil puts it here. Do you care more about money or do you care more about life? Do you care more about that cell phone or do you care more about life? Well, the person that kills another person for that cell phone because they're so jealous that they don't have one is being tempted by the devil to kill that person and take that materialistic thing. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, stealing is a temptation set down by the devil? Taking one's life, murdering somebody, raping someone, beating someone up in the home, your child, your wife, your husband for that matter. Wives beat up their husbands. So when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, the temptation overtakes the word of Jesus, the way of Jesus, the way of Christ, the way of the Lord. And that is a great example of how God has been taken out of our society. Because we are so self-centered. We don't care about anybody else in this world. We don't give a shit about anybody else. We just care about ourselves. It always falls back on ourselves. Nobody seems to care about other people. We used to care about other people. Not anymore. Now it's all about materialistic things. Now it's all about money. Who has more money than who? who has the big house, who's got the 27 cars in the garage that they take out a different one every day of the month. Who's got the better cell phone? Who's got a better computer? Who's got the better headphones and microphone? Don't matter. But yet in this world of materialism, it does matter. There are a lot of jealous people in this world, and the devil has gotten a hold of a lot of them. The devil has controlled half of this population. It's a battle between good and evil. What's going on earth right now? The godly people versus the people that are easily tempted, that are weak-minded, that follow the leadership of Antichrist, of people that don't care about them. We failed the second temptation too. Jesus did not, we did. Now remember, Jesus is all perfect. But when he became human, he had to make the same choices that we had to make. But Jesus always had one thing on his side. God the Father. And he would always listen to his dad. And when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, the whole idea of the Trinity is so important. The whole idea of the Trinity is so important. Three persons in one God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Do we realize the importance of getting back to the Lord? Because we failed all three temptations. Although we cannot be like Jesus, but we can walk in the light of Jesus. And we can live a godly life. But yeah, we're going to slip up because we have free will. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But if you're living a godly life, boy, I tell you, you're going to have a one-way ticket to heaven. How do you know you're living a godly life? How do you know you're following Jesus? You're following your heart. If you follow your heart, you're following your path. Now, that path was given to you by God. If you're following your heart throughout your whole life, you're living very godly. When you divert is when you're not living godly. You're being tempted by guilt. You're being tempted by sadness. You're being tempted by... Although we do have to go through the stages of grief, we don't want to be tempted by grief and stay in grief and stay in guilt. So when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, it's important and imperative to understand that the only way to live a godly life is following your heart, which is also following your soul, because your heart and your soul are connected. That's right. And what better way to get all its information, the heart, from the soul, which is connected to God. And that's how we're connected to God, through our soul, which is connected to our heart. So if we are following our heart, we are living a godly life, and we didn't take the temptation bait. So right now in society, we failed one, which is we're already tempted by the devil. We love materialistic things, and all we think about is money, which is the biggest temptation on this earth. Now, money is important because how do we live without it? That's fine. Think about it every day. Don't obsess over it. But it is important to live because you got to pay the bills with it. And even God says you have to work. You have to do something to make money so you can live in your life. It's in the Bible. Truly being godly, all you need to do is be comfortable with the amount of money that you have. Do you have enough money to pay your bills and get food and drink and shelter for your family or your friends? If you do, you're living a godly life. The minute you exceed what is comfortable, you're not living a godly life. You're living a life of temptation, because you are tempted to get more and more and more. Like these billionaires. Hey, I got no problem with billionaires, okay, because they make their money and they go out and they just know how to make money. But there's good ways to use money and bad ways to use money. Are you helping people with your money? Are you giving to great charities? Are you giving money to help cancer patients? Are you giving money to help save the dolphins and the whales? Are you giving money to help a cause? Or are you putting money out there to screw an election? Or are you putting money out there to screw people? Or are you putting money out there to have people killed? There's two ways to use money. The godly way, and by way of temptation. Greed is the devil talking. Hoarding your money is the devil talking. So we already failed that one. Most of the people on this earth have already failed that one. We care more about money, and we care more about materialistic things. We failed that one. We've been totally tempted by the devil on this earth. And we don't even realize it. And we're just living the way we're living, and we're not living godly lives unless we're following our heart. For following our heart, none of those material things mean shit. Money is only an object. It's only a piece of paper. If I have enough to pay my bills, I'm happy with that. Okay, so when it comes down to it, we are already tempted. So we failed temptation number one already. We failed temptation number two by following idol leaders. And some of these leaders are seen as false idols, false gods. And we follow them blindly because we think that they are right, but they are wrong, and they're leading us in a very bad direction. We also follow the people in our life. Sometimes we follow our parents. And it's not such a good thing that we follow our parents. That's why we must be an individual in that case. We failed temptation number two by following false idols. by following leaders blindly. By following our parents who are supposed to educate us, but sometimes they send us awry. And we listen to our friends, peer pressure. And that's the devil talking. The devil talking. Every time you listen to peer pressure and you take drugs and you drink too much and you drink excessively every day, that's listening to the devil. When you get addicted to something like drinking, gambling, shopping, sex, that's listening to the devil. That's listening to the people around you saying, go ahead and do it. Join us. Do it. But you're not following God. You're following other people, other false gods, other idols. So we already failed that one. So we failed the first two temptations. We really don't fit into the third temptation unless you think of your life as a godly life. Because obviously Jesus had no problem not showing his true force. The only times in his life when he showed his true force when he created miracles. Raised Lazarus from the dead, cured the leper, multiplied the bread and the loaves and the fish at the wedding at Cana. But when it was his turn to save his own life on the cross, he did not do it. And that would have been the ultimate miracle. But he did not do it. To save us from our sins. He gave up his life to save everybody else. So what does that mean for you? Do you give up your life to help everybody else? I mean, I focus on myself too. There's nothing wrong with focusing on yourself, making sure you're healthy. If you're not healthy, you can't do nothing. You know? So if you're living a godly life is helping other people. It's caring about others. So if you get what I'm saying, godly life is not focused on material things. Godly life is not focused on money. Godly life is focused on yourself and other people. I put plenty of time into myself, but I have so much more time for other people. And in what I do as an advocate, I'm helping other people every single day. Every single day I'm helping somebody. So I'm living a godly life because that's my path to help other people. My path is to show people the light. So I'm already living through my heart. I'm trying to stay non-diverted. But sometimes, listen, I get diverted. With this stupid microphone, boy, did I get diverted tonight. Okay, but I'm back on path. When there is a diversion, you have to learn from it and head back to path. And head back to the heart. And don't get stuck in your mind. Once you get stuck in your mind, boy, you're going to be diverted for a long time unless you can pull yourself out quickly. The key, ladies and gentlemen, to living a godly life is to always follow your heart. And when you get diverted, you learn from the adversity and you head right back to your heart. You don't get diverted, and you don't get stuck in your brain. Because your brain is where the conscience is. And if you do have to make a choice, yeah, you got to use your brain for that. Okay? But don't stay up there for a long period of time. Make the decision. Just get it done. That's something I have to work on even. Okay? Making a quick decision, but an educated decision. Making sure you're going in the right direction. And the more great choices that you make, the more you're motivated to move quicker and swifter and get things done immediately. But if you make a bad decision, that doesn't mean life is over. Well, we all make bad decisions. I made some bad decisions in life, especially with money. I wish money was more of my friend. Honestly, it hasn't been the last couple of years. But the idea is to make money your friend and also live comfortably with the money that you have. And don't get tempted to be greedy and prideful with that money. Give that money. So the key is to not get diverted off of the path and to not get stuck in your mind for too long. When you have to make an educated decision, you go to your brain. But don't make it a two-week decision. Talk to people, think about it, and make a decision, a swift decision, which is educated. And the more of those that you do, you will get more motivated to continue on that path of making good, swift, educated decisions. The less you are in your mind, the better your life will be. The more you're in your mind, the more you will be miserable and feel stuck. And not know where to go and what to do, because you will be out of your heart and off of your path, and you will be stuck. It's like being stuck in an underground tunnel which has no way out. There's no U-turns. And when you walk down the tunnel, there's two ways you could go, and there's no light either way. There's no way out. Unless you make a way out. It's a dead-end tunnel. Unless you make a way out. That's right. So God today is really telling us through this Lenten period to live a more godly life. To care about others and to care about ourselves. To care about our health. And to not care so much about the temptation of life. What he taught us today. When it comes to health, you want to be in a dead end with your health. You need to make sure you build a wise team of doctors and people to surround you that will give you options to aid you back to health. Remember, doctors are only advisors. You own your life. Whatever happens to your body, is your problem, not the doctor's. So let's stop blaming everybody else, and let's blame ourselves. We're not concentrating on our own bodies, concentrating on our own health. Not the doctor's fault. Not the nurse's fault. It's not the hospital's fault. It's your damn fault. Concentrate more on your health. Make better choices for your health. Build teams that will be wise to advise you in the right direction. And create a wins list for yourself so you can build your motivation as you move forward in life and trying different things. So in all these examples, ladies and gentlemen, we can live a godly life. Especially if you have a disease. You have an autoimmune disease. If you got chronic pain disease. If you got a TBI or an ABI. If you got any ailment. When you create a wins list, you're creating a wins list to change your life and pull it into a right direction. To make life more exciting. You're not being tempted at all when you create a wins list. That's stuff that you want to try to do. The temptation comes in when you say you can't do something. So if you say, I can't run, I can't drive, I can't walk, I can't get down the stairs, I can't cook, I can't sit, I can't lay down. It's like a fucking broken record. Temptation. That's the devil talking. You can't do anything because you believe you can't do anything. But if you believe that you can, you will. Get that temptation out of your head that you cannot do anything. And you will be living a godly life. Sky is the limit. You can do anything. That's the way you gotta think. Now, you may have limitations. That doesn't mean you have to restrict your wins list. That doesn't mean you have to stop everything that you're doing. Because that's temptation too. The devil says, stop everything you're doing. And if you listen to it, you fail temptation one and you fail temptation two. We have one life. We are not supposed to stop living. We are supposed to live every second of the day. And if there's one time where you stop living, that's when you're fucking dead. That's right. The minute you stop living is when you're dead. And that's the only time you're supposed to stop living. When you're dead. And living a godly life God says that. Stop living. Because you never know when life will be taken away from you. And Ash Wednesday is to remind us that we are dust, and till dust we shall return. It's a reminder that we're going to die. That we're all going to go. We're all going to die. We're all going to meet our maker. It's a reminder that we are dust, and till dust we shall return. It's a common sense reminder. Everybody's going to die. Did you ever look at it that way? when you got the ashes put on your head? Did you ever think that you are those ashes? This is deep shit, people. This is deep shit tonight. Did you ever look at those ashes and say, holy shit, I'm those ashes? What do they do when you die? They either bury you in a casket and you dwindle away in the casket. All that's left is maybe a skeleton, but the skin is gone. Or they burn you in a furnace until you're ash. And they put you in an urn until dust you shall return. That's right. Do you ever think about that? No, because we don't want to think about death. We don't want to think about dying. It's part of life. It's a cycle of life. You're born, you live, you die. That's it. There's a lot of people that don't want to believe it. But it's true. You're not invincible. Even the oldest person on earth, 117 years old, is going to die one day. And they're going to return to ash in one way or another. So that day, we make a conscious effort to remind ourselves that we're all going to go one day. We're all going to meet our maker. But this is a time of cleansing. So now that reminder is prevalent as we're going through Lent and we're cleansing our bodies to stay alive for another year. It all depends on what you do during those 40 days. Do you realize it? If you're not cleansing, you're slowly killing yourself. If you're not getting rid of the toxins, you're slowly killing yourself. Not getting rid of the problems and the issues and the craziness in your life and the negativity, you're slowly killing yourself. 40 days, no matter what religion you are. No matter what God you follow. Are the most important 40 days everyone's life. We are all to be cleansing during this time, no matter what religion we are. And that's why they say, spring cleaning. Get rid of the old and bring in the new. This is the time. Spring is the time to change. Because remember, the leaves are going to be appearing soon. Growth is going to start happening in spring. We need to grow ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves to be better people for other people. And yes, we do need other people around us. We're social beings. So this is the time. If we are going to live another year, this is the time. This is a time of cleansing. This is a time of renewing. This is a time of healing. For the people that go on, for the people that die in the spring, they completed their journey. They've already cleansed. They already got rid of the toxins. They already completed their task. They already completed their journey. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more to cleanse. There's nothing more to heal. just like the tree in the fall, the human dies after they complete their journey. And you don't know when you're going to die. This is a time of cleansing to move forward into the summer, which are longer days, which are hotter days, where you can get more done. Winter and summer are both hibernation times. Spring and fall are more rejuvenation times. More rejuvenation in the spring as we fall back in the fall. But this is a time of cleansing. These 40 days, these days of spring, will basically be your ruination or be your salvation. This is a time to cleanse all negativity, friends, family, relationships, bad team members, rebuilding teams, adding to teams. This is the time. This is the place. The spring brings us into action for the rest of the year. The time of rejuvenation is here. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow temptation? Following temptation will not be so good for us. We must follow the way of the Lord and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would God do in this situation? Now, we have environmental concerns. COVID, we have BLM and Antifa that might be showing up again this summer. Are we going to have more two thumbs down entertainment? That's all it is entertainment and a bunch of setups. COVID continues. Lockdowns continue. But that doesn't mean life stops. That doesn't mean life stops. Life does not stop during COVID, during BLM and Antifa running around recklessly on the streets, burning down crap. Life is not supposed to stop. We are not supposed to be living in fear. But we are supposed to be living in faith, faith over fear. Do you realize that so many people are living in fear, and living in fear is bringing them closer to death? Every time you live in fear, you're weakening yourself. And during COVID, what are we doing? So many people living in fear that they're going to die tomorrow. The world is going to end tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. The world's going to end. Every day, these people, these followers, these people that follow false idols and false leaders, believe in the leader and not the way of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize? That during COVID, God is always there. And God is telling us, don't listen to the false idols. Don't listen to the false leaders. For they know not what they do. Live in faith. Don't live in fear. Living in faith, you will listen to me. God is saying, live in faith, because living in faith is living a godly life through COVID. You don't need vaccines, because vaccines are man-made. Just like this virus was man-made. To take down economies, to take down whole countries. God's angry. Haven't you seen it? Snowstorms, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, more forceful than ever before. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, living in fear is living with the devil every single day. Living with the devil and following false idols is the very same thing. Living with the devil. The more and more you get ideologically subverted, you're not living in the Lord. You're living with the devil. The more you believe masks are going to save your life rather than the Lord, you're living in the devil. The more you think vaccines that are man-made are going to save your life and cure you from ever getting COVID again, you're sadly mistaken. You're not living a godly life. So many people, oh, I got my second shot today. And then you see them in bed. Oh, my God, I don't feel well. Right. Because it's man-made. Anything can go wrong. There's a lot of side effects with those vaccines, by the way, which are not seen right away. Take months, could take a full year to see side effects from a vaccine. Vaccines are not here to cure us. Most vaccines, ladies and gentlemen, are here to give us more ailments, or honestly, to kill us. It's a way to control. Again, the government wants to control you. So what do they put out there? You're ideologically subverted to believe that the vaccine is going to save you from COVID. That you'll never get COVID in your life ever again. Meanwhile, you have to wear a mask still after you get a COVID shot. Meaning, you could get COVID still. So when it comes down to it, it's 80% effective in some cases. And in some cases, it only makes you immune for 3 months and then you got to get another shot. So when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, follow the way of the Lord. And that's living in faith. And I'm living in faith. I'm not getting a vaccine, even though I'm immune compromised. I am not getting a vaccine. I refuse to get a vaccine. And honestly, I'm not a big fan of wearing masks. only when I go to the grocery store, so I don't have to pay a fine of $1,000, do I wear a mask. Any other time, I don't wear a mask. In the car, don't wear a mask. Exercising, don't wear a mask. Walking around the block, don't wear a mask. That's right. Most of the time, I'm not wearing a mask. Okay? Because masks don't save you, just like a vaccine doesn't save you. Now, again, COVID is probably going to be rampant in the summertime, just like last summer. And yes, BLM and Antifa are going to be what? Exempt. Get out there and burn some buildings and go loot some buildings. Right. What? None of those people get COVID? Are they human beings? Are they animals? What are they? That they're not getting COVID. So none of those people in all those big groups marching in the streets got COVID. None of them. None of them got COVID, ladies and gentlemen. Not one of those people got COVID and died from it, right? So I don't understand how people think. And that's when I started questioning COVID. When these people were wearing no masks, not 6 feet away from one another, and marching in groups down the street, yelling and screaming in cops' faces, nobody gets COVID? Nobody dies from COVID? But yet, the ideologically subverted side of life can't see that for themselves? That there's a problem there? That these people are exempt? I mean, are those people human? Well, then they should be getting COVID. And none of them got COVID. So when it comes down to it, yeah, it was used as a political farce to basically tell us, well, these people could march in the street and you can't. But yes, COVID is real and COVID is contagious, but those people didn't get COVID. None of them got COVID. How does that happen? They should all got COVID. Every single one of them. But you never heard of a BLM person or an Antifa person or anyone marching in the streets in the summertime of 2020 getting COVID. You should be questioning that, people. You should be questioning that. Why aren't these people getting COVID? And why can't I go out of my house and these people be marching on the streets, yelling and spitting all over the place? And them not getting COVID, and them not dying from COVID. So we're going to have another episode of this summer? Most likely, yes. And why? Probably to come to no end again. The first time they didn't go in front of a governor or a mayor or a state official to change any laws, and most likely the second time they won't either. That's right. So why march in the street if you're not going to change anything? What's your retribution? What are you looking for? We can't bring back the lives that were lost. Can't bring them back. They're dead. That's right. So what's the retribution? More burning of buildings and looting of buildings and businesses? And what's the retribution for that? What do you want for all of that? Wrecking cities. What do you want for all of that? You want change laws? Well, go and talk to somebody that will change the laws for you. Go and talk to an elected official. Have a civil conversation and fucking sit down with them and work something out. Civil disobedience definitely wasn't used last summer. Probably won't be used this summer either. And they say this is in the name of Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. wouldn't like any of that that happened last summer or probably this summer. That's right. because he's not for any of that. They shouldn't be using his name because he's probably rolling around in his grave right now. What the fuck are these people doing? That's right. It was kind of funny because BLM and Antifa were allowed to protest, but the people that were protesting the lockdowns, oh, no, you can't do that. That's against the law. Oh, but these people are allowed in the middle of the street yelling and screaming in cops' faces, killing cops, beating cops, and that's okay. The ideologically subversive side of life, don't question that. They see that as a good thing? That bothers the hell out of me, actually. There are a lot of people that thought what BLM and Antifa did in the summertime was a good thing last year. And I don't know how they would think that that's a good thing. Their city is burned down. They have nowhere to get their prescriptions. They have nowhere to get their belongings. They have nowhere to get groceries. That's a good thing for some of these fucking people. And they come out in support of what BLM and Antifa were doing. I don't know how you could support that. Then you got corporate America, commercials, NBA, NFL, baseball, hockey, kneeling, all kinds of different things, right? I stopped watching it all. Go fuck themselves. That's right. Corporate America is one of the biggest manipulators in this country and one of the biggest temptations in this country. Follow the way of corporate America and you're following the devil. That's right. Do your own thing. Make your own money. Be comfortable with what you're making. You're living the path of God. That's right. We see what corporate America is. After summertime 2020, we see what they are. How many of them back BLM and Antifa? And how many of them lost business? How many of them lost business for doing just that? So again, the temptations of life, living in grandeur or living in misery. So all these things happening in the world, we ourselves are not supposed to be tempted to sway away from our journey and our path. We just keep going and we just keep living. No matter if there's a lockdown or not. And the more you push forward, the more the lockdown won't mean nothing. I got more time now than I ever had before in my life. I'm getting so much done. It's not even funny. Everybody thinks, oh, what a boring time. There's nothing to do. Oh, I don't give a shit about that. Go find something to do. Clean your house. Do a DIY project. Organize your home. Organize your computer. Organize your iPad and your iPhone. Organization. This is the best time to do it. There's really nothing to do. And when you say, I had a great 2020, and so many people were miserable during 2020, right? I had a great 2020. I organized. I got a new computer. I did what I had to do in my life to move forward. And I did. And we all should have done that. A lot of people just got stuck in the whole idea that there was nothing to do. In the whole idea that there was no vacation. in the whole idea that, oh, my God, life is boring for a whole year. Yeah, 2020, if you didn't live in God's path, if you didn't live in your own path, if you weren't using faith over fear, yeah, it was a very miserable time. It was a very miserable time. It was a very boring time. If you weren't living in God's word, if you weren't living God's path, if you weren't living in your own path, in 2020, life was miserable for you. Life was depressing for you. Life was anxiety-filled for you. But for me, I just went along on my merry way, and I lived in my God's path, and I lived in my own path, and I just kept moving, and I just kept moving forward. We built up JGF to a point we have a website. We're building up so many different websites. And if we didn't have this time, I wouldn't be here making websites and actually consulting with people on making websites. We wouldn't even be at this point if I didn't have all this time to get things rolling, to get things moving. Now I've consulted with the webmaster, and the webmaster is building the websites. We're moving forward. That's the consummation of growth. The consummation of cleansing your own body when you move forward and you actually get to where you want to go. Websites are coming out March 4th. March 4th, you're going to start seeing my dream come to life. Because the people that worked for me wholeheartedly, worked for this foundation, support everything I do, using their talents, things rolling here. We're all part of a team. And in a team, we all use our talents. And in using our talents, we move things forward. So when it comes down to it, our webmaster is doing an awesome job. Getting those websites ready. We're going to be delivering those websites. We're living the godly message, and we're moving forward. COVID is not going to stop us. BLM and Antifa is not going to stop us, because we're not living in fear. We're living in faith. And as long as we live in faith, everything will move forward. And that's all I got to say about that. Hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you so much for coming in. Tomorrow, I get back to work. And the 27th, I come back here and I do my final show here in February, and then we move into March. And we look forward to March, the third month of the year already, folks. 2 months down already, folks. Time is flying. Let's get it done. Live a godly life. Live in faith. Be the best that you could be. And know that God is always on your side and God is always there to be your friend. Even if you don't have any friends around you, God is always there. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, folks. We love you. Take care, everyone.